Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
It is enough to know that God, my Father, knows all my ways and days of coming years. It is enough to know He never erreth. He leadeth step by step past all my fears. We do not need to know the distant morrow. We do not need to know where He will lead. It is enough to know that God, my Father, will care for me and mine and meet my need. That poem was by Gertrude Sanborn. I've read my mother's poems often to you. It's from the book With Tears in My Heart. Perhaps you'd like to get a or a gift for your daughter or for a friend of yours, your aunt. It would be a blessing. I want to talk today about a subject that we've heard a lot about lately on the television and news, a subject that we don't know a lot about. I'm speaking for myself, and I think that many of the news commentators are taken quite by surprise over the surfacing of this black liberation theology. And I wondered what it was, and because I wondered what it was, I thought maybe you would not know what it was. We have a dear friend, Pastor Quarles, who comes to our church quite often and sometimes speaks when my husband's absent. He's a black man, very knowledgeable, and I said to him, "What is black liberation theology?" So he told me, he explained it to me, and to be perfectly honest, it was sort of foreign to me, to my ears. I had heard this preacher, Reverend Jeremiah Wright Jr., say things that were played on the television. Some of the things that he'd said, I had heard before. I had read in some periodicals some of these beliefs, but I'd never heard them preached by a pastor from the pulpit. So I went to the computer. Besides asking my friend, Pastor Quarles, who gave me some literature, but first I went to the computer, and I asked the question, "What is liberation theology?" And this gotquestions.org came up and gave me an answer. It said, "Simply put, liberation theology is an attempt to interpret Scripture through the plight of the poor. It is largely a humanistic doctrine. It started in South America in the turbulent 1950s when Marxism was making great gains among the poor because of its emphasis on the redistribution of wealth, allowing poor peasants to share in the wealth of the colonial elite and thus upgrade their economic status in life. As a theology, it has very strong Roman Catholic beliefs." Liberation theology was boasted in 1968 at the Second Latin American Bishop Conference, which met in Medellin, Colombia. The idea was to study the Bible and to fight for social justice in Christian Catholic communities. Since the only governmental model for the redistribution of wealth in a South American country was a Marxist model, gained in the turbulent 1950s, the redistribution of wealth to raise economic standards of the poor in South America took on a definite Marxist flavor. Since those who had money were very reluctant to part with it, in any wealth distribution model, the use of the populace, the real poor people, revolt was encouraged by those who worked most closely with the poor. As a result, the liberation theology model was mired in Marxist dogma and revolutionary causes. Now, I try to understand this. I know that many people think, some people think, that communism was taught in the book of Acts with the early church. But that is not true. They did give to each other and they shared things in common, but that was all voluntary. It was not forced upon them. This liberation theology, the way I understand it, was dogmatic, was a dogma from the top, and said, if you have money, if you have $100, and you see somebody who is poor and begging, you must give them some of your money. Give them $50. Give the person who is sick and can't work $25. And you can be left with $25. It's the rich giving to the poor and leveling everybody. My friend, Pastor Quarles, said he described some of this to me, and the one that I remember, his illustration, was Cuba. Because we, my husband and I, went to Cuba under Batista, and we were hijacked to Cuba under Castro. So I was a little familiar with Cuba, and my friend said, you remember, in Cuba, the idea was that the rich people, and most of them were not black in Cuba, this is according to my friend, and the idea was that the black people should get some of the rich people's money, and so that everybody's level, and nobody had anything. And if you remember, many people fled to Miami and got away from that kind of government. Now, this must be the beginning of black liberation theology. But let's go on with this question. As a result of Marxist leanings by the 1980s, the Catholic hierarchy from Pope John Paul on down had criticized liberation theology as practiced by the bishops and priests of South America. As a result, they have been accused of supporting violent revolutions and outright Marxist class struggle by the top hierarchy of the Catholic Church. So the Pope and everything, from the top down, they did not approve of what was going on in South America and in Central America and those places. This perversion usually is the result of a humanist view of man being codified into church doctrine by zealous priests and bishops, and explains why the Catholic top hierarchy now wants to separate themselves from a Marxist doctrine and revolution. And I can't say that I blame them. However, this article goes on to say, liberation theology, now listen to this, has moved from the poor peasants in South America to the poor blacks in America. We now have black liberation theology being preached in the black community. It is the same Marxist revolutionary humanistic philosophy found in South American liberation theology and has no more claim for a scriptural basis than the South American model has. False doctrine is still false, no matter how it is dressed up or what fancy name is attached to it. In the same way that revolutionary fervor was stirred up in South America, a liberation theology is now trying to stir up revolutionary fervor among blacks in America. If the church in America recognizes the falseness of black liberation theology, as the Catholic Church did in the South American model, black liberation theology will suffer the same fate that the South American liberation theology did. Namely, it will be seen to be the false doctrine of a humanistic viewpoint dressed up in theological terms. Now, I wonder if you got all that. I wonder if you can understand all that. It's a little detailed, but I thought you should know it, and you should look this up yourself. I have a couple quotes here. One says, Reverend Jeremiah Wright has defended himself against charges of anti-Americanism and racism by referring to his foundational philosophy, the black liberation theology of scholars such as James Cone, C-O-N-E, who regards Jesus Christ as a black messiah and blacks as the chosen people, who will only accept a God who assists their aim of destroying the white enemy. Now, here is a quote from Mr. Cone. He is one of the main instigators of black liberation theology. If God is not for us and against white people, writes Cone, then he is a murderer and we had better kill him. The task of black theology is to kill gods who do not belong to the black community. Now, I wonder about this, and I suppose I'm quite bold talking to you about this. I'm no expert. But I figure if I'm not an expert, you're not an expert too. Most of you women listening to me probably don't know too much about it. I was just talking to a pastor And he said he doesn't know anything about black liberation theology either. He's a white pastor. He just listens to the radio. And so here I am on the radio, sort of the blind teaching the blind and leading the blind. But I think we can glean some truth. We read in Galatians 3, 26, 27, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are one in Jesus Christ. If you have looked to the cross of Calvary and you saw Jesus dying on the cross for your sin and taking in his body all your guilt, all your guilt, all your badness, all the garbage of your life, and die for you to free you from the penalty of sin, which is hell, then you, whether you be white or black, Chinese, Korean, and Indian, a Jew or whatever, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are one in Christ. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. I just hope that we can see some reconciliation with all of this. I have been to Africa 3 times with my husband, to Liberia twice, and to Sierra Leone once at a refugee camp. I have learned, and I learned to love the African people. I never necessarily wanted to go to Africa, but we were invited, and so we went. Dr. Waite goes many places where he's invited. And we learned to love Pastor Joah and his family and his church and his children. And when I would see the little children there, I would love the little children, the little black children. And they would look at me and they would run away from me because they'd never seen a white lady before in their life. And I remember I did the tribute to Fanny Crosby there for them, and I dressed up like Fanny Crosby. And I also did Frances Havergal for them one of the times. And I remember when they saw me in the Frances Havergal outfit, she was a hymn writer, and they ran and they were afraid of me because they'd never seen anything like that. But I love those black people. My son belongs to a church, a Baptist church, that's mostly black people. And that black pastor has helped him. So when I teach you this, it's because I want to know, and you should know too. Think about it.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?